Let's turn this morning to Luke 22. I want to continue somewhat with this series of our walk in Christ. And I have entitled this message, A Walk of Remembrance. This could well be included, as we've already found out, we are to walk in love. And this could be considered a great part of that, simply because that Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And this really is a commandment that he gives in regard to the Last Supper. As he said, as oft as you do it, then you do it in remembrance of me. Once again, this is our first Sunday, and we traditionally take the communion service on the first Sunday. And so I want to go into what Jesus said, and we're also going to see what Paul said about this matter, following the same pattern, that it really is a command, and as we have said, it is a command of divine love. And so in Luke 22, let's begin with verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Verse 17, he took the cup, he gave thanks, said this, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. And then he said, this do in remembrance of me. And indeed, that really is a command on the part of Jesus, that this was to be observed. There are several things that we would notice about this portion. We're going to go to what Paul said here in just a little bit, along this same line, as he was instructed to do. But here in Luke 22, once again, verse 14, when the hour was come, he sat down. That is significant because he was in his own comfort zone, so to speak. He was at peace with himself, even in view of the fact that he must go to the cross. It was already settled in him, and so he sat down. The 12 apostles sat with him, and he said with them, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover. I want to keep in mind here that Jesus himself was the Passover lamb. And so, says, I want desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And he knew that suffering was coming, and it was a great suffering. It was not only the physical pain of crucifixion. Most of us could identify with such a thing as that if nails were driven through our wrists, through our feet. But Jesus had the horrendous pain of being shut out of God's presence and cast into outer darkness. No believer will ever know what that means. But Jesus understood it. He experienced it firsthand. And so he suffered in this manner, whereby you and I will never know anything about it. Continue in verse 16, he says, I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. This is actually a reference to the millennium, when the results of Calvary will have been realized. He will get the benefit of those of that work which he did there at the cross of Christ. And of course, that benefit will also be with us too. We will share in such wonder and blessing also. In verse 17 we read, he took the cup, he gave thanks, he said, take this, divide it among yourselves. I will say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. This cup would really be a cup of joy, of glory. And so he says here, I'm not going to drink any more of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. This is a reference, of course, to the joy of the kingdom, which will not come to pass for Jesus or for us until Jesus reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords during that 1,000-year millennial reign when he reigns as God upon the very throne of God. In verse 19, we read that he took the bread. He gave thanks. He broke it. He gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do, and you'll notice again, in remembrance of me. And it is so important that we understand when we take the communion, it is not in remembrance of us. We'll see more of that here in just a moment. It is not remembering what we may have done or may not have done, what we could glory in or what we might be ashamed of. We take the communion supper in remembrance of Christ. Is he not worthy to be remembered? And of course, the answer is yes, he certainly is. If you would turn now to the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I want to thank little Jacob who graciously brought my cup of water this morning. Praise God. Little children learning to serve others. And so Paul outlined some specific instructions regarding this communion supper. Skip down to verse 17, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. Paul says, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not. Now, he had commended them for something else. But when it came to the Lord's Supper, he said, I praise you not that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. First of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. God, Jesus, designed the communion service to unify the body. But the manner in which the Corinthians were observing it had just exactly the opposite effect. And that same thing is true in our world today. We find those who practice closed communion, unless you are part of their community, you don't get to pay, you don't get to participate and to partake of that service. That's the opposite of what God had in mind. God says there is one body, but men have divided that into so many sects and schisms, it's not even funny. And so we read here in verse 19, Paul says there must be heresies. He says there must be disunion, there must be division, and there's a reason for that. God uses that division to prove those that are right, proving those who are genuine as opposed to those who are not. And so there must be heresies, divisions, disunion among you, that they which are approved may be manifest. God is going to show forth the elite. He's going to show it forth by practical experience, and we hope to be a part of that experience, that we are those who are of the elite that he is, of which he speaks. That they which are approved may be manifest among you. Verse 20, when you come together, therefore, you're all in one place. The opportunity is there. When you come together into one place, but Paul says, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. In other words, you have altogether missed the purpose of eating the Lord's Supper. By your conduct, you have missed the mark completely. And he is speaking directly to the Corinthian believers. Verse 21, in eating, he tells them exactly what they were doing. He spells it out specifically of that which they were guilty. In eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. These Corinthians were exhibiting selfishness to the highest degree. They cared about no one but themselves, and really, individually, this is the way they felt. And you will notice the result of their conduct to others. Look at the rest of this verse. One is hungry. That ought not to be. If you share what you have, everyone should be filled. And that's the way God intended. But that's not the way the Corinthians were doing it. So one is hungry. Another is drunken. This brings us to another observance. People have asked the question, should real wine be taken in the communion service, or should we just drink grape juice? And we have chosen to do grape juice just because some people's consciences are offended. But if you will notice here, the Corinthians had to have been drinking real wine, because you don't get drunk on grape juice. But they were taking it to the excess, and that is not what was to be done. So one is hungry, another is drunken. And so this service by the Corinthians was most assuredly taken with genuine wine. Verse 22, what? Paul asks, have you not houses to eat and drink in? Can't you meet your own personal needs at home without coming out here and exploiting everyone else, which is what the Corinthians were doing? Furthermore, despise you the church of God? They were actually despising Christ's own body. That's not what the communion service was all about. That's not what God intended. Despise you the church of God and shame them that have not? They have not because you don't share with them. And yet you are rich. You have all of the resources. You should be sharing them with other people, and you are not. This is Paul's message to the Corinthians. And so he asks, what shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. I will not commend you for doing this. I will not say you are right because you're absolutely wrong. Then we come to verse 23, which gives us much more credence than what we might normally think. He says, I have received of the Lord. What I am telling you, what I am passing on to you, the Lord himself gave this directly to me. And so he received the instruction that he is giving to the Corinthians directly from the Lord. That which I delivered unto you. And I want to notice for our own edification that this is the same pattern which must prevail in our lives today. We can only give what he gives to us. We can't muster anything of our own. We can't conjure anything up of our own. It must be given to us. And God is faithful to do that. This Christ is faithful to give it to us. The truth and opportunities and so many other things, he gives to us and then we can pass it on to others. So we can only give that which we receive from the Lord. Continuing, that the Lord, Paul says, I received of the Lord, I received which I delivered to you, the Lord the same night in which he was betrayed. And we can only imagine the feelings of Jesus as he was betrayed. He knew he would be betrayed into the hands of men to suffer as he did. And with that thought in mind, it did not deter him. He still went on with exactly what God intended him to do. Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And then he adds the command, this do in remembrance of me. Now, once again, I want to notice it is important to realize that the primary reason for participating or taking this communion is in remembrance of him. Verse 25, after the same manner he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament. The word testament is simply another word for covenant. This is the new covenant. It is the new covenant of divine grace. It is in my blood. And again, this do ye as oft as you drink it. Whether it's once a week, once a month, every day, doesn't make any difference. Anytime you take this cup, do it in remembrance of me. It is a time to remember Christ rather than our own works, successes, or failures, anything of this nature. We must take the communion cup in remembrance of Christ. Verse 26, as often as you eat this bread, and this bread once again is the body of Christ. Now, I want to point out here that the body of Christ was not actually broken. There was not a bone of him broken. God would not allow his offering to be mutilated. This is a figurative term. And he uncovers that saying, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's what Jesus meant when he said, take of my body. My words, they are spirit. They are life. This is what you have to take. And they are freely distributed, these words freely distributed unto us. And again, for our edification first, but then to pass on to others what God has given to us. As often as you eat this bread, that is the body of Christ, and drink this cup, that would be the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, or his life, you do show the Lord's death till he come. This is such a very important part of the communion service. The communion service looks both backward and forward. It looks backward to Calvary. That's the basis of everything that we have in Christ, his death there on the cross. But then it also looks forward to the millennium. That is when all the results of Calvary are going to be shown forth in actuality. And so the communion service, this communion supper, looks backward to Calvary, forward to the millennium. Verse 27, wherefore? That is because of verse 26, because it looks backward and forward. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, and you can underline this word, unworthily, because people read it wrong. Unworthily is an adverb, It describes the manner in which someone does something rather than the condition of the person doing it. People read this as saying, if you're unworthy when you take it, then you're guilty of damnation. That's not what he said. He said, if you take it unworthily, in an unworthy manner. And so unworthily describes the manner or the way in which someone practices something, when something is done. It does not point to the condition of the person doing it. The manner of the Corinthians was excluding part of the body of Christ. That's what they were guilty of. They were guilty of excluding part of the body of Christ. They all should have been one. Once again, that's what the communion supper is all about, that everyone is one. But the Corinthians violated that big time. And so they excluded part of the body from taking communion. Therefore, the Corinthians were taking the service unworthily. And then we come to verse 28. Let a man examine himself. That doesn't mean to examine ourselves to say if we are worthy or someone else is worthy. No. Let a man examine himself. The reason he's to examine himself to see if he is taking it unworthily, if his manner is wrong. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread, drink of that cup. He must ascertain, he must examine himself, ascertain why he is partaking the memorial supper. Are you taking it in remembrance of me or some other reason? If it's for any other reason, it is the wrong reason. There is only one reason to take the communion cup and the bread, and that is in remembrance of Christ. He goes on in verse 29 saying, he that eateth and drinking, and you again can underline the word unworthily or in an unworthy manner. He eats and drinks damnation to himself. That doesn't mean he's going to be cast into hell, as some people seem to think, but he's certainly not going to be fruitful. He is not going to bear the fruit of the Spirit as God intended him to do. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. And then Paul says the word, exactly what he's doing, not discerning the Lord's body. Paul explains explicitly what it means to partake of the feast unworthily. It is one who does not discern the Lord's body. He's not partaking of the service for the right reason. And so he is shutting out part of the body. And then there are consequences for that. You know, we are part of one body. What affects one also affects the other. And what happens or doesn't happen to us affects the rest of the body. We're one body. That's the way God designed it, the way he intended it. And so the dire consequences of not discerning the Lord's body are found here in verse 30. For this cause many are weak. That means they're weak spiritually. They're not strong spiritually, growing up into Christ in all things as God intended, as Paul tells us about. Some are sickly among you because of what you have done. And many sleep. That is, they are just, this could refer to natural death, but also just unaware of what is going on around. Paul said in another place, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And so sleeping means that you're just not aware of things that are going on about you. And we must be aware, especially of the soon coming of Jesus. And so all believers are to be included in observing this memorial feast. And keep in mind, it must be in remembrance of Jesus. And so we would ask, is he not worthy to be remembered? And the answer is a resounding yes, he is. And so he is most assuredly worthy of being remembered for what he did at Calvary. And then I want to notice this point, which we must take to ourselves. Because Paul made this intensely personal. And you and I must make it intensely personal. We'll not turn there. I'm certain that all of you remember. You can probably quote it. The scripture is Galatians 2:20. Paul says it this way, I am, and the better rendering is, I have been crucified with Christ. It means he was identified with Jesus when Jesus was crucified there on the cross of Calvary. Now, Jesus bore all the pain, the sorrow, and all of the consequence, but Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. I am identified with him. Nevertheless, I live. And then, at that same immediate moment, Paul immediately corrects himself. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And then I love the last part of this verse. The life which I now live in the flesh, and he means at this present time in this mortal physical body. He's not talking about living after the flesh or after the old man. He's talking about living our lives in this present physical mortal body. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And again, notice how personal Paul made it, and you and I must also make that same personal attachment and association in our own lives. It is the faith of the Son of God who loved me, and he gave himself for me. Paul viewed this so personally that it was as though no one else were even around. And that's the same attitude with which we must take the Lord's Supper. He gave himself for me. He loved me. He surrendered himself to the cross for me. And this is what we must remember, that he did that as though no one else were even around. And so it is so important for us to remember that service today. All right, we are going to...